Well, the emphasis this day has been upon the Word of God. And we started with Gideon here this morning, and he did challenge our hearts. It was very interesting. I had never met the brother before. We've had conversations. He's had conversations with a number of people here at Northgate Chapel. But this is our first encounter with him, but I could have listened to him more, and I wished he'd have taken more of the time. He did go over the time a little, and it caused me to jump right into the middle of what I was going to bring, but that's not the point. The point is that the Word of God, it is something that should be valued above any treasure we have. It tells us about a wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on Wednesday evening, if you're not ordinarily here, on Wednesday evening, it's been 15 weeks that I have spoken from Psalm 119. And I'll tell you some things about 119 that you may not know. In Psalm 119, we have 176 verses. Every one of those verses, with the exception of one, mentions the Word of God. There are 10 synonyms that are used in those verses that refer in some way to God's Word. Each one having a particular meaning which shows you that the Word of God, it serves to answer almost any question that ever arises in the heart of a man regarding of how we should do something and approaching God, fellowship with God, how we order and direct the affairs of our lives. This is what is so important about the Scriptures and the message that they convey to each one of us. So tonight, I'm going to take one of those eight verse sections. It's the one I was going to use on Wednesday night, but tonight I'm going to use it, and I trust that you will just bear with me. Psalm 119, and we'll start at verse 105. That's where we have arrived in this study. And I'll try to remind us of the meaning of each one of these synonyms. The Word, judgments, Word, judgments, law, precepts, testimonies, statutes, all of these are used in just this eight-verse section. Each one of these sections, of course, uses one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which consists of 22 letters, and if you multiply that by eight, you come up with 176 verses. So we'll start out by reading these eight verses, and then we'll look in and take a little deeper look at the significance of each one. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. My soul is continually in thy hand, in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we would pray this Lord's Day as we have gathered here in this place and we have sought to carry out the mind and the will of God as revealed in His Word for us. We started this day with a time around the table remembering our Savior, the Lord Jesus, fulfilling a desire of His heart that we would remember Him. Indeed, it was a precious time for each one of us that were here. And oh, tonight, Lord, as we think further upon the Word of God, the wisdom of our God, the knowledge that stands behind all that is revealed in this book, oh, grant, we pray thee, that the Spirit of God will impart to us that which will strengthen us and help us to develop spiritually into the kind of Christian that would be a mighty witness for thee in this world, telling forth the word of the living God. And grant, we pray thee, with that awareness, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All of this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This first verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can look in almost any book that deals with biblical history. There were no street lights, there were no flashlights, there were no spotlights during the day in which this was written. If you traveled by night along those dusty pathways, over in that part of the world, they had something designed to provide light for you. When he says, thy word is a lamp unto my foot, actually, there was a little lamp that you could put on your foot. Had a little oil in there, a wick, and as it's portrayed in the picture. And it gave out a little light. But I said so many times in considering this, where there is no light, it doesn't take but just a little bit of light to cast the enlightenment upon an area in which it's so dark. And if you're walking along a pathway and you just need enough light for the next step, that's all I want. I just want to walk one step at a time. That little lamp that was on the foot of that traveler, it would suffice. And it would reveal what was in front of him. And that's the way it is with us. You know, faith is something that it reaches out and says, Lord, you lead the way and I'll follow. And he says, I am the light of the world. And indeed, God doesn't want his people walking in the dark. We need to be walking in the light of his word as he reveals it to us. A light onto my pathway, Lord. I need light. Why is it that so many people sometimes can get into such horrible situations in their life, and when you begin to examine the source of or the beginning of the problem, it was a departure from the light, the Word of God. Believers, when they go astray, I'll guarantee you one thing you will find out early on, when's the last time you read the Word of God? When is the last time you looked to God for some guidance and help? More likely, it says it's been a long time. Well, if you can picture that traveler back there, and he didn't have a lamp for his foot, he's stumbling all over the place. He's falling in the ditches. He's doing a lot of things that can be harmful to him. And believe me, beloved, any believer that abandons his daily walk with God and to be guided by the Word of God is in trouble. It won't take long. Well, I don't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference who you are. You may say, I'm so strong spiritually, I can just go on in the power of this strength and this spiritual food for a long time. Well, you may fool yourself, but you're not fooling others, and certainly you're not fooling God. It takes that daily. Thank God for what Gibby has put before us here. Things that we sometimes forget, things that we don't think are important. Listen, if this world is to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ, God has entrusted that to you and to me to tell them. You are my witnesses. You are my messengers in this world. We need the Word of God. He says, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Well, we're told that taking vows sometimes is a very serious thing. Taking oaths sometimes is a very serious thing. But believe me, if before God, in the depths of your soul, you can say sincerely, Lord, I want to obey thy word. I don't want to take a step in life that is contrary to the way that you would have me to go. And certainly, I don't want to step out of that pathway of righteousness that you have designed for me to walk in. You know, if that kind of commitment started with us every day that we lived, I doubt if we'd get in very much trouble. And certainly those that have neglected to even think about how important it is to before the Lord purpose in your heart. Some people say, well, I'm just not committing myself to that position. What they're telling you is, I have no intentions of disciplining in myself so that I would walk in the pathway of righteousness. So I'm not about to commit myself. I'm not about to have a record kept of me making a vow that I will walk and stay in the pathways of righteousness. The psalmist here reminds us, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Give me life. The kind of life that is strong. The kind of life that flows from God. All according to thy word. You know, as possessors of eternal life, the revealing of the source of true life came to us through the word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the living word. We have the written word before us, but we have the living word in us. I need to be energized again from the word of God. I need to take this food that God has provided, like manna in the desert for the people of Israel. And I need to take it and use it to sustain and keep me so that I can function in a way for the glory of God. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. You know, I think the ear of God is kindly inclined to hear everything that we would say that would exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No question about that. There may be, like our brother Lehman Strauss said, a lot of silly, foolish things said by God's people in prayer sometime, but when you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and indicate that your desire to be like Him and to fellowship and commune with Him and give Him that place that God would have Him to have, what is it? The preeminent place, the first place in your life. I can tell you this, the Lord's ear is attentive. He listens. But you know, it's possible for a child of God to cry out to God and God doesn't hear. You know when that happens? When we have unjudged sin in our lives. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's a solemn statement, but that's what the Word of God says. And child of God, don't forget it. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, There may be a crisis coming. There may be some time when you want to cry out to God right now. Be sure that you keep short accounts in making confession of any and all sin that touches your life. And we do sin. How often have I heard so recently from this very platform, at least two or three of the speakers that have been here, we're all sinners. We probably never go through any one day without sinning. And that's why God has made that wonderful provision. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God's people, when they sin, should be overcome with godly sorrow. And they should desire fellowship with God so strongly. I confess my sin, and our God hears our cry. And He indeed does respect those cries that come up from a heart that is filled with godly sorrow. My soul is continually in thy hand, in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. Now, a lot of people sometimes say, I can take care of myself. Well, I've known some people that say, I can take care of myself, and I can tell you for a fact, it didn't look like to me they were doing such a good job. But isn't it wonderful that you can put your hands out to God and lift them up and say, Lord, take care of me. Take care of me, Lord. I need your help. I need your comfort. I need your guidance. And the Spirit of God that indwells us, He just loves to guide and direct the affairs of God's people. Filled with the Spirit of God bearing fruit for God. The love and the joy and the peace. My soul is continually in my hand. You see, there's responsibility. Responsibility for every one of us to do what God tells us to do. I can't keep the commandments for you. I can't keep the word of God for you. You got to do it for yourself. You can't keep it for me. Our responsibility is to obey the word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Those are words that are found in Scripture, and they're so important. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. No, there's no telling how many times in the course of one day that there's something directed toward you from this world that would cause you to compromise away your testimony, compromise away your convictions about something that you know is found in the Word of God. It's there all the time. And that's the reason why in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we ought to be strong in the Lord. We should put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the devil. We might be able to resist him. And the Word of God says, submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There has to be that constant awareness that I'm being bombarded from all sides in this world. There are those in this world that have no respect for the Word of God. Wicked people sometimes seem to delight in getting a person that is clean and pure to corrupt himself. They want to see somebody else join that group that they belong to. And where sin is something that's a part of their daily lives. Not so with a child of God that's alert. Yet I erred not from thy precepts. I remembered the Spirit of God brought to my memory those things that are directed toward me to keep me clean and pure and loyal to my God. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Heaven and earth may pass away. The Word of God will never pass away. It's something eternal. When we begin to read it, and we begin to claim the promises in the Word of God, This is what God has given to me. This is what God wants me to have, that perfect assurance. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. All of these things become so real to the heart of every believer. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. You know, if it was recorded in the Word of God that at some point in time, while the Lord Jesus Christ was here from the face of the earth, he had to call up heaven, and it's recorded that he came that close to abandon his mission of doing what he did and going all the way to the cross. But you know, the Word of God tells us, having loved his own, he loved them to the very end. I understand that this says, even unto the heel, which conveys the thought to the uttermost limits. That's how far we can trust our God. All the way. I can trust him all the way. So I incline my heart to perform thy statutes. I know that obeying the Word of God brings blessing. Think of all the peace that sometimes we're robbed of because we have disobeyed the Word of God. And there's so many things in so many areas. Brother and sister, I'm not telling you it's easy, but it's better than disobeying. When we disobey, we are expecting chastening. The Lord chastens those that he loves. But those that obey his precepts, just think of communion and fellowship with God. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. And after sin had entered that perfect, ideal place, Eden, God says, Adam, where are you? You're hiding from me. Why are you hiding from me? We were afraid. Afraid of what? What are you afraid of? I'm the same God. I'm the same Savior. Why are you fearful of me? You know why they were hiding. There was sin. Sin had entered the world. That horrible thing, sin. And you know, our parents that were in the garden, and we are all of Adam's race, you know they passed that on to us? Sin. Each one of us possesses a sinful nature, the same nature that Adam had. And it will rob us, if it's allowed to control your life, it will rob you of communion and fellowship with God. But if we obey his statutes, and I was just looking on this sheet that I have where these synonyms are used, these things, statutes speak of, the synonym, things inscribed, enacted in his laws. It's written. It's here. It's clear. It's simple. Obey and find blessing. The word of the true and the living God. I looked at one verse today. I'm going to read it. I intended to read it earlier. But I'm going to read it because it tells us of a time past in the lives of the children of Israel. Their departure from obeying what God had directed them to do. And it is such a sobering thought. I read it this morning. It says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Suppose this book was taken away from us. Suppose the promises in this word were taken away from us. It means a whole lot more to us than bread and water. God knows. I think I'd go out of my mind. I think we would certainly find ourselves in a dilemma that I don't believe will ever happen. because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And by the grace of God, we have this book. We have God's will. And I don't want to be abandoned. And I don't want to be a freelancer doing it on my own and trusting my own mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your...